Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
Hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and 3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen, amen. So maybe this has been a challenging day. This has been a challenging week. Maybe you've had different things that you've had to work through. But the Lord says, I'm going to take that heaviness and I'm going to give you a spirit of joy. Amen. So be encouraged and know that God's got a good plan for your life. And then he's working things out, no matter what it seems like now. You know, he's behind the scenes and he's working it out. You know, some of you got bad news going on. You're trying to figure out how to pay this bill and pay that bill. You're dealing with family issues, the spouse, the husband, the wife, the cat, the dog, the canary that's not acting right, whatever is going on in your life, but just that's not going well in your life. But just know that God loves you and that he's going to work everything out. Just continue to keep praising God. Keep a good attitude. Don't get in fear. Don't get depressed. But just continue to keep a good spirit and continue to stay encouraged and just know that God is going to work it out. You know, Scripture says it this way. It says that God will supply all your needs by his riches in glory. He will supply all our needs by his riches in glory. So we know that in heaven there's no depression. We know that in heaven there's no poverty. We know in heaven there's no lack. We know in heaven there's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no debt in heaven. And the Scripture says that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So we know that his riches, that he will supply according to his riches. And we know that the Scripture says that, you know, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Scripture says that the silver is mine, the gold is mine, but the glory of this latter house should be greater than the former. And so Scripture continually admonishes us that, you know, God has plenty of resource. And then the Lord says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches. I'm going to supply all of your needs according to my riches. So that means God is going to supply every need that you have, whatever it is that you need help for. God says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So that means God's got plenty. There's no poverty. There's no lack. There's no not enough. So that means that whatever we have need for, we can ask the Lord to supply it for us by his riches in glory. But that's the key. That's the key. That's the missing element. We have to recognize and we have to welcome God's glory. But the Scripture says if we recognize that we are in God's glory, the Scripture says that we've been made in the same image and likeness as God. The Scripture says in Psalms, it says, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that you made him just a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory. You know, that's in the Psalms. I think it's Psalms 8. And so in the Scripture says that God has crowned us in his glory. You know, that was the whole issue with Satan. You know, when Satan came, and, well, let's back up some. You know, prior to God creating man, it was God, his earth, his animals, and his angels. And the Scripture says that it's in in Ezekiel. It talks about Satan, how Satan was adorned and he had all the fine jewels and he was crowned in God's glory. But the Scripture said that Satan then began to look at himself, and he, instead of him giving God the glory, he began to glorify himself. And the Scripture says that then God, you know, kicked him then Satan said, you know, I will ascend above God, and I will make my throne above God's. You know, Satan got everything mixed up, and he forgot that the glory that he had was not his own glory, but it was the glory that God had given him. And so God stripped him of his glory, and the scripture says, according to Jesus, that in Luke it says that Jesus saw Satan, and he beheld, and he fell like lightning. He looked up and saw Satan, and Satan had fell down, had fallen like lightning. He lost his glory. So when God creates man, the scripture says that Adam walked in the cool of the day and that he was clothed with the glory of God. Amen. And so when Satan caused Adam to commit, and Adam and Eve to commit high treason, and they ate of the knowledge of the good and evil, then they lost the glory. But then when Christ Jesus came, Jesus defeated Satan, and the scripture says he snatched back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he rose and ascended, and gave gifts unto men, took captivity captive, as the scripture said, and gave gifts unto men, which is us. And it says that we've now been made in the image and likeness of God, and that we now have received or reclaimed that glory, because Jesus made a covenant, and he said, that same glory that I have, I now give it unto thee, talking about us, man. So we now have that glory. So we have to recognize that we were crowned with the glory of God. So scripture says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. Then when we have the recognition and the revelation that we are crowned in his glory, then we can receive whatever it is that we need. So you have to recognize by faith that you are in the glory of God. And the scripture says that if you are in the glory of God, then God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. And we now are in the glory of God. Amen. So if there's those of you, you're listening now, maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you have a family need. Maybe you need restoration. Maybe you're believing God for a healing, okay? I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to recognize that you are now clothed, that you are now full of the glory of God. You are full of the glory of God. You know, scripture says in Ephesians, it talks about how, you know, Paul says, you know, that you would remember the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory, your inheritance in the saints is. So we have now, through Christ Jesus, we have been allowed to receive and to inherit a glory. We've been allowed to inherit the glory of God. Amen. Praise God. So let's all pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to recognize that we are in his glory. Amen. And then I'm going to challenge you tonight, after I get through teaching and everything. I want you to just spend some time with the Lord, recognizing that you're in his glory, and I want you to just seek him as to whatever it is that you wanting to receive from him, because the scripture says that God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory, and we know that we are now in the glory of God. Amen. So just repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. That's right. Just repeat that. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that through Christ Jesus, I have been given your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that I receive the inheritance of the saints in glory, according to the riches of your glory. That, Lord, you may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, so that I come to know what is the hope of my calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of me as a saint of God. And I receive it now, Lord. I receive your glory. I receive your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that all my needs are supplied according to your riches in glory. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I feel that God is really moving upon some people's lives. And I feel as though you're gonna there's some people you're listening, you're going to experience some breakthroughs. You're gonna get a breakthrough tonight. God is saying you're gonna get a breakthrough tonight. Matter of fact, I prophesy by the end of this teaching, and I'm gonna end it around 10 o'clock. By the end of this teaching, somebody that's listening tonight, you're gonna get a phone call from somebody that's gonna be an answer to a prayer. Because we've now received God's glory, and God is saying he's going to supply all of your need. And when you get that phone call, or when you get that contact, that text from that person that reaches out to you with that answer prayer, I want you to call me. I want you to call into this phone line and testify, because sure as I'm a prophet of God, it's going to happen. Guest call-in number is 347-996-3442. I want you to call in with your testimony, because God is going to meet you. Because as you pray, God is descended, and his glory is here, and it's an open heaven for you to ask and to receive what it is that you believe in God for, you know. And so that's what we're going to be talking a lot about tonight, is favor and understanding that you are favored. Did you know that you are favored? Do you know what that word favor means? It means God's grace. It means God's grace. That means, or people say, God's unmerited favor. Favor is when people, help you even when they don't want to. Favor is when people are nice to you. Favor is when people walk up and give you stuff. Favor is when people bless you. You know, God has called us to all be favored. God has called us all to be favored. And, you know, that favor starts with our thinking. You know, our thinking is where we access the favor. You know, it's in our soul, which is the mind, the will, the emotions. And all of the blessings of God start that way from our soul and us being able to receive the blessings of God. The scripture says in Proverbs, it says, so a man thinks in his heart, the heart, that's the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions. It says, so a man thinks in his soul, so is he. So if you have messed up thinking and you think that nobody likes me and nobody wants to help me and woe is me and my life is so terrible, then guess what? According to scripture, that's exactly what you're going to get. That's exactly what you're going to get. So, y'all, we have to change our thinking. And how do we change our thinking? The scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we continually fill our soul. We fill our soul with the word of God. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And then it says, let us renew our minds. Let us renew our minds by the washing of the water of the word. So it's the word. It's the Holy Scripture. It's the prophetic word that actually cleanses our soul, cleanses our thinking, so that we can think clearly and so that we can receive from God. Amen. So God wants to bless you, and God wants to increase you. And so how we understand, how we access the things of God, is by us first recognizing that, yes, God wants to bless me. God's not mad at me. God's not trying to get me. God isn't withholding from me because I need to suffer or because he's trying to teach me something. No, the scripture says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So through Christ Jesus, we have received all things. Through Christ Jesus, we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God is saying that I've called you to receive everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God says he's already provided it for us. And God says he's providing it for us now. And so God wants to favor you. God wants to favor you. God wants to increase you. God wants to bless you. So first you have to understand that God wants to do it. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines in probably about another 15 minutes and prophesy and minister to people. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 347-996-3442. Please call and tell your friends. Y'all, don't be stingy. Don't just sit on here on the phone lines and just receive it for yourself. You know that you got friends, family members who are in bad situations. They need a prophecy. They need a prophetic word from God. They need to be on this phone line right now. You know, don't just sit up there and you know, be a spiritual glutton and you grab all the prophecies and you listen to all the good words and all the scriptures and you don't share it with nobody. You know, if you know that you have family members and friends that need to be on this phone line, I want you to tell them to get on the line now. You know, get on the line. If you need, you got family members that need to be encouraged, tell them to call in, 347-996-3442, and I promise you this word is going to bless you. So Psalms 5 and 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with favor as a shield. It was one of my favorite scriptures. Psalms 5 and 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. So what is righteousness? You know, this is a thing that people have misunderstood. All righteousness means is to be in right standing with God. Okay, so righteousness is not, you know, women wearing buns and not wearing makeup and men, you know, not wearing blue jeans. Righteousness is not, you know, women not wearing pants or rouge or all that stuff. That's not what righteousness is. Righteousness is just being in right standing with God. And the scripture says it this way: if you believe in the Lord with your heart and you confess with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, then you are saved. And if you're saved, which means that you've confessed the Lord Jesus with your heart, you've confessed the Lord Jesus with your mouth, and you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then scripture says you're saved. And if you've done those two things, then you're in right standing with God, which means you're righteous. That's all righteousness means, is it means that you're in right standing with God. Righteousness is not what you wear. It's not, you know, that you go to church five times a week. It's not that you fast and pray till your ribs stick out. I mean, that none of that has anything to do with righteousness. Righteousness is being in right standing with God. And right standing with God is when we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we receive Jesus our Lord and Savior according to Romans 10:9-8, that if you believe in the Lord, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, then you're saved. And that's where righteousness is. That means you're in right standing with God. So God says, so you could say it this way in Psalms 5 and 12, surely, Lord, you bless the people who are saved. You bless folks that are in right standing. So surely, Lord, you bless the saved. So that says right there that God, you as a born-again believer, the scripture says that God blesses you. That means God wants to bless you, and he's going to bless you. And then it says you surround them with your favor as with a shield. So the scripture saying right there, did you know that God has surrounded you with favor? God has surrounded you with favor. God is surrounding you with favor. Now, the scripture says it this way. It says, the truth, well, we've heard people teach it, and they say, the truth shall make you free. Well, that's almost right. The scripture really is, that's not really the best translation. If you really look at that Greek word out, what it's really saying, it says the truth that you know and understand shall make you free. The truth that you know and understand shall make you free. I'm going to say that one more time. The truth that you know and understand shall make you free. So just because, you know, there's a truth in the scripture, that doesn't necessarily mean that truth will make you free. You know, for instance, I'll give you an example. The scripture says that by his stripes we're healed. Okay, that scripture is in the Bible. But Jesus said this way, it says the truth that you know and understand shall make you free. So it's only when we come into knowing the scripture. You know, for instance, Matthew 8:17, by his stripes I'm healed, or 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53:4, all those scriptures confess and decree that by his stripes, well, that's Jesus Christ, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, the lash marks that he took during his sacrificial death. You know, scripture says that he was whipped, he was lashed 40 save one, meaning that he was whipped 39 times. He took a lash mark. you know, in people who understand sicknesses, it's interesting. And I verified this with my dad. My dad was a family physician. My father was a doctor. And there are 39 major diseases. Out of those 39 diseases, every other disease is a branch of it. And so when Jesus went to the cross and he was whipped with the cat of nine tails, and the cat of nine tails was basically, it was a whip, and it had like a little sharp object. It could either be like a piece of rock or a piece of glass that was tied onto the end of the whip. And then whenever Jesus was being tortured, you know, the person who was whipping, they would take the whip and they would whip Jesus' back, and then that sharp object, that glass or that rock, it would drag down Jesus' back, which is, you know, what they called a stripe. So it literally was a bruise that was a stripe. It was a stripe that, you know, that was actually a bruise. And so the stripes were made, which was a 39. So every time Jesus received a stripe or he received a whip mark, he was actually taking a stripe for our illnesses. That's why Scripture says in Isaiah says that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. So he was wounded for our transgressions, and then he was bruised for our iniquities. So Jesus took those wounds in his body as a sacrifice so that we could receive healing. And so I'm saying all that to say, we think about when we receive salvation, you know, that, okay, now I'm in right standing with God through Jesus Christ, and I inherit eternal life and I go to heaven. And that's true, and that's very, very true. But at the point of Calvary, at the point of the cross, Jesus not only, suffered and died so that we could be saved, but he also suffered and died so that we could receive the benefits. And one of the benefits was healing. So when Jesus died and when he went to the cross, it said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So it talks about he was chastened for our peace. So that means that Jesus not only died for our healing, meaning that he was wounded for our transgressions. Okay, so that means for all the sins that we ever committed, Jesus was wounded for that, so that we could be forgiven our sins. Then he was bruised for our iniquities. Okay, so that means he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquity is a generational sin, or it's a propensity towards something. So, you know, the Scripture says that, man, I wasn't even anticipating teaching all this, but I'm just following the Holy Spirit. But the Scripture talks about in the Torah, which is basically the Torah, the Old Testament, or the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, when actually in Exodus, Moses was given the law. But the Scripture says that the sins of the father were passed on to the third and the fourth generation. And basically what that means is that if our forefathers committed a sin, then according to the Scripture, in our souls become wounded, because those wounds pass on from generation to generation. You know, that's why, you know, you see it in families. You know, people have a propensity towards high blood pressure, or they have a propensity towards diabetes, or they have a propensity towards cancer, because that wound is made in the soul from generations, and then that wound continues of the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, continues to follow throughout the generations. That's an iniquity. When you have a propensity towards sin, or what people call a generational curse, that's an iniquity. So Scripture says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. That means he took away the sin. Then he was bruised for our iniquities. That means he also took a bruising for our generational issues. And then the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So that means that Jesus was even crucified for our mind, so that we have a peace of mind. So when y'all, and I'm not trying to criticize nobody. I just want you to understand stuff. So we talk about this in the era of healing and generational curses. But you know, when we as Christians, when we're suffering with depression, bipolarism, ADHD, all these other mental disorders. You know, the scripture is saying that Jesus he was chastened. That Jesus was literally chastened so that we could have peace of mind. It's not the Lord's will that we as Christians be sick. It's not the will of the Father for us to be ill. It's not the will of the Lord for us to carry generational curses. It's not the will of the Lord for us to have bipolarism or ADHD or depression and all these other things. Because the scripture then goes on and says, by his stripes we are healed. So in that salvation package, we receive healing, we receive deliverance, we receive prosperity, we receive joy, we receive happiness. All of those things are given to us in the salvation package. So going back to the righteous and you surround them with favor as a shield, what I'm saying is this: we can only receive from God to the area or to the dimension that we understand what his word says about it. And as we understand what God's word says on the truth that you know, okay, so I know the scripture, by stripes is healed, and that I understand, you know, the scripture says it this way: and all thy getting, get understanding. And all thy getting, get understanding. Why do you think the Bible said that? Well, the Bible said get understanding because once we gain understanding of something, then we receive the revelation and the power that comes with it. I'm going to say that again. Once you get understanding of something, then you receive the anointing and the power that goes along with it. So when you get the understanding that God doesn't want you broken, that he wants you prosperous, then God can begin to prosper you. Because now you have the understanding. Or once you get the understanding that God wants you healed, then God can start healing you because now you have the understanding. You're getting the understanding. Remember, scripture says it this way: so a man thinks in his heart. What is the heart? The heart is the soul. What is the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotion. So with the same So a man thinks his heart, so a man thinks his heart, so is he. So what degree and dimension of understanding we have, that's the degree and dimension that we receive his blessing. And so I'm saying all that to say this: once you understand that God wants to favor you, and you have the understanding that God wants to favor you, then God's going to start favoring you. You see what I'm saying? Once you begin to understand that God wants to favor you, then God will start favoring you. Now, I can hear some of y'all saying, well, I understand all this, Kyle, but why am I not favored? Prophet Kyle, I hear you on this, but why am I not favored? Well, do you really have an understanding that God wants to favor you? Y'all, we have to start asking ourselves some tough questions. Do we really believe the Bible? Do we really believe the Bible? And then, two, do we really believe the Bible is for us? Because a lot of times we say, oh, yeah, I believe God wants to heal me. But in my heart, we really don't think that God will heal us. We don't even think that he'll heal us. And so then, consequently, we don't get healed. Or we say, oh, yeah, I believe God will supply all my needs. But in our heart, we don't really think that he'll supply my needs. I know he'll supply Bobby Joe's needs. I know he'll supply Mary's needs or whatever. But I don't know about me. See, but the scripture says that God has no respect of persons. And this is an understanding that I learned, and I had been saved for probably about 20 years. I've been saved now for 25 years, and I've been saved for about 20 years, and I never understood this concept. And I was someone, you know, who grew up in word of faith, where, you know, you confess the word, you confess the word, you confess the word, and that's true. That's true. I believe you know, the scripture says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you believe you receive them, you have them. You know, if you should say to this, you know, tree be cursed and cut down, it'll fall. So I believe in the power of confession. But where I think we were missing it is, the scripture says, love the Lord thy heart, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy heart, and all thy mind. And I used to hear that scripture all the time, and I would wonder, love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. And I never quite understood that, because I thought, well, you know, how do I love God with my mind? How do I do that? Okay, so maybe I think on godly things, or maybe I think nice thoughts. No, I really didn't understand that. That was one of those, you know, scriptures that used to baffle me. I was like, well, how do I love him with my mind? And the Lord explained it to me. Well, we love God with our mind when we begin to start thinking like he thinks. That's our greatest demonstration of love to the Lord, is that we start thinking like he thinks. And when we start thinking like he thinks, we really believe that what he says is true. Amen. We really believe that what God's word says is true. And not only do we believe it's true, but we believe it's true for us. Okay, that's the key. Because a lot of people, they believe, okay, I believe God's word. I believe that God's word is true. But they don't really believe that God would do it for them. Well, I know what the scripture says, but I don't think he would do it for me. But the scripture says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. I will supply all of my needs. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. So what's your need? What is it that you believe in God for? What is your need? Now, scripture says nothing's too hard for God. It's not anything that you need that God would not give you. You know, so you not being able to pay your bills, do you think that's the will of God? Of course not. Do you think God is somewhere, oh, you know, I want to see you suffer, or I'm not going to answer this prayer because I want to show you that I'm really God and that you can believe me through the bad times just like you can the good times. I mean, you know, what do we think God is? You know, that he's up in heaven playing games with us? No. God is a father. God is a father. God is a father. God is a loving father. And I have to say that, a loving father. Because I realize that some of us, we didn't have loving fathers. We didn't have great examples of father figures. And so when we come into the things of God, we got to get totally reacclimated to what a father is, because we have fathers that let us down. They lied to us. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. They didn't show up when they said they were going to show up. You know, they were flaky blakey. You know, we could never trust them and never count on them. And so, you know, now for those of you who have fathers like that, then you're going through a whole paradigm shift where you have to reacclimate yourself to God, who is a real father, because you didn't have a godly example. But God loves you. He's not trying to withhold anything from you. But he can't get to you what it is he wants to get to you until you adjust your thinking. You know, until you adjust your thinking. And it took me a long time to realize that. You know, for years I thought, you know, well, I guess God didn't want me to have that. Or maybe I was like, oh, I guess I didn't have enough faith to believe that. Or, you know, that was just the sovereign will of God. And yes. There is a sovereignty to God, and there are things that God does, and he's going to do them because that's his sovereign purpose. But a lot of these things are not sovereign. They're just our failure to see ourselves the way God sees us, because the scripture says, according to the scripture, that we've been made in the image and likeness of God. And the scripture says, now we are in covenant with Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus made a covenant with God that was eternal and perfect. And then Jesus said, okay, now I'm going to engraft you in to the covenant with you. I'm talking about us. I'm going to engraft mankind into the perfect covenant that I have with God. So you know Jesus, he can't break his covenant with God because Jesus is perfect, has been made perfect, you know, through the resurrection. God is perfect. They have a perfect covenant with each other, which a covenant is basically a blood-washed, blood-bought agreement that says whatever you have is mine and whatever I have is yours. So then God enters into covenant with man and says, okay, whatever I have is yours and whatever you have is mine. Well, you know, we don't have nothing. We don't have anything to give God. But God has everything to give us. And you just think about the love of the Father that God the Father will enter into a covenant with man knowing that we have nothing to give him. So we're the whole beneficiary of the covenant because we have nothing to give him, but we are entitled and receive all the benefits of being a child of God through the redemptive work of Christ Jesus. That's powerful, y'all. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful, y'all. Man, if we come to that revelation of what we have in Christ Jesus through the covenant, we don't need a prophecy. Really, you don't need a prophecy. For what? Because you already understand who you are in Christ Jesus and that God has already declared and decreed that he wants to bless you. You know, that's why the scripture talks about, it says, let us understand a sure word of prophecy. You know, of course, we'll always have prophets because the scripture says prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. But when you really begin to start growing up in God and understanding what you have in God, you know, you don't always need a prophetic word. And I'm all for prophecies, and I'm a prophet, and that's what I do. But you don't always need a prophecy because the scripture says you have a sure word of prophecy, which is the Holy Bible, and you know, and it's us believing the scripture. But the problem has been we've so seldom seen the power and the operation of the scripture in power that you know, basically the Bible, it could be just a plain old book sitting on a coffee table because we don't understand the power in his word. Amen. I'm going to read one more scripture. This is Psalms 30:5. For his anger lasts only a moment. That's God. His anger only lasts one moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, because his favor lasts for a lifetime. And you know, another way you could translate that favor is grace. That means when God favors you, he doesn't take it away. That's why scripture says that the gifts and callings are without repentance. And it says that his anger, it only lasts for a moment. God may be angry for a moment, but his love, his tender kindness, his favor, it lasts forever. Okay, here's another scripture, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. Guest call-in number is 347-996-3442. I'm looking forward to getting some testimonies. Somebody need to be on this line telling me, because the Lord said that somebody, you were going to get a connection, a text or a phone call with an answer to your prayer, you know, while I was teaching tonight. So I know somebody is on that's going to be on the phone to testify. Psalms 30:7, Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Okay. So when we hide from the Lord, we become dismayed. But God says that when he favors us, he causes us to stand firm. Amen. God says, when I favor you, I'll cause you to stand firm. You'll stand firm in my word because you're demonstrating my favor. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. So we're going to continue to talk about favor. I've got a lot of other scriptures, but before we close out, I just want to pray, and I just really sense like God is wanting to impart His favor into you. And so if you need to receive a touch from God, if you want to receive a tangible touch from the Lord, I just feel like God's glory is here now. And the manifested glory of God is going to touch you. And you're going to experience a supernatural manifestation of God. You know, some people say, oh, well, I believe in seeking the giver more than the gifts. Well, I mean, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? You know, it's like when people say that, it makes me think that, so what you're saying? You're saying that I can't see God and also seek His presence at the same time, like somehow those are mutually exclusive? Of course not. That's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's like, you know, this is who God is. Why would He not want to demonstrate and show you his attributes? You know, it's like I give you an example. It would be like you're a child and your father's trying to give you some candy, right? And so your father keeps trying to give you the candy, and you just say, "Oh Lord, I want to let you know how thankful I am for this candy." And so your father's like, "Well, here, let me give you the candy." "Oh, but no, Lord, I don't need the candy. I just need to let you know how thankful I am that you're giving me the candy." And then you're like, "Well, I'm trying to give you the candy." "Oh, but no, I don't want the candy. If you never gave me the candy, I just want you to know how grateful and thankful I am that you've given me the candy. But I don't want the candy." How would you respond with your child? You'd be like, "Okay, my child is a nut." You see what I'm saying? So we have to be practical in this. If God has already promised us something and said, "Hey, this is something I want you to have," you know, then there's nothing wrong with me accepting what it is God has promised me that He's going to give me. You see what I'm saying? You know, and it doesn't take away from the fact I'm not dishonoring God because I'm receiving or asking to receive what He's already promised He's going to give me. You see what I'm saying? So I think sometimes when we hear these teachings, we need to start questioning this stuff, because some of this stuff is basically just religion. It's Pharisaical, religious spirit teaching, and we need to start questioning this stuff, because it's not Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me open up the phone lines. All right, caller, you're live and on the air. This is Prophet Kyle, Beauty for Ashes.
Hi, I was calling. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy the message, and I really feel that God has been speaking to me, like, through the message, and He has been, like, speaking to me about, like, changing my mindset. So it was just confirmation, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What's your first name?
Cecily.
Cecily? Okay, Cecily, God says, I'm bringing about change in your life. And God says, I'm moving you out of an old way of doing things, and I'm putting you on a new plane. And God says that what I have for you is so much bigger than even what you could hope or imagine. God says, you know, you had these big dreams and things that you wanted to do. Then life came, and it's like you had like one different roadblock after another. But God says, this is not that season. This is that season where I'm now pouring out my favor upon you. And the Lord says, don't allow the stumbling blocks of the past to hinder you from moving forward in me. For the Lord says, I'm opening up doors that no man can close. And God says, I'm bringing you into a new expected end. So God says, change your expectations, raise your expectations, because God says, what I have for you is way more than what you could ever hope, dream, or imagine, says the Spirit of the living God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on tonight. Okay, next caller is 3395.
Hi, Prophet Kyle. How are you?
Hey, who's speaking?
This is Tamara.
Hey, Tamara, how you doing?
I am well. I have really
good.
Been blessed by the teaching tonight as
good.
Well as the past couple of weeks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. How's everything
yes.
been going with your new business?
Oh, it's been going well. It's been going
awesome.
Very good. I've made
awesome.
I've made some new contacts, so everything's been really good this week.
That's good.
I'm excited
That's
about
good.
It.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Did you have any questions or comments?
I just wanted to let you know that the teaching was wonderful. It really blessed me, especially
you.
Your series on hope.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
The teachings have really been blessing me, and I've been able
thank
to get
you.
On, so I'm excited about that.
Yay. You know, I heard something kind of interesting when you were talking. I kept hearing trophy, 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 and I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? And what the Lord is saying is that you're going to be my trophy. You're going to be my prize possession, says God.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord says, I'm going to use you. Oh, praise God. I'm going to use you as my trophy. And the Lord says, just as a trophy, when someone wins an award and they take that trophy, and they brag, and it's a demonstration of what they've possessed and what they've accomplished and who they stand for. God says, you're going to be that trophy. The Lord says, I'm going to use you as a demonstration of who I am and how I bless those people and how I reward people who walk and honor me, says God. The Lord says, you've been obedient and you've made great sacrifices to follow me, especially the last year. And the Lord says, you're going to see that all of the things that you've given up for the sake of me, God says you're going to find a huge manifestation at the end, says the Lord. And so the Lord says, I hear the Lord saying money management. God says, begin to start putting that in order. Not that you're mismanaging, but actually the contrary. The Lord says, because of your well handling of finances, God says, I'm about to make you, I'm just going to say what God's saying. I'm about to make you very wealthy. And so the Lord says, as I put that wealth in your hands, God says, now you're going to have to find ways to best utilize that wealth. So the God says, begin to start even considering, how you invest and how you even maximize what it is I've given you, because God says that surely the storehouse is open, and the Lord says, I'm pouring at you out a blessing that you can't even receive it all, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. God bless you.
God bless
it's good
you
hearing
too.
Your voice. We're going to have to catch up.
Catch up, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll text you.
Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, your last four digits are 9898. Looks like 9898.
Yes, sir. Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am wonderful. I just wanted to say thank you. I feel like when I called, I felt burdened about different things in my life, like relationships and finances and family. Mm-hmm. And your message served as a light. So I pray that you continue with your line, with whatever you do in terms of art or writing, and just continue to bless people with the word of God, because I need it to be said, and you gave me that tonight. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sweetheart. And, the word I'm hearing for you is restoration. God says, I'm going to restore the years, the locust, the cankerworm, the palm worm of Eden. And God says, not only in your financial areas, but God says, I'm also going to restore the joy of your salvation. And I'm going to impart into you a new joy and a new life, says the Lord. And the Lord says, this restoration is going to take place in such a transformational way that just your very presence and your demonstration of it is going to cause many people to come to me, because the Lord says people are going to come and they're going to ask and they'll say, okay, you got out of this situation. How did you do it? And you worked through this situation, and what did you do? And God says you'll testify, and you'll be that testimony as unto me. And God says from it I'll get much glory, but God says you will gain even more surety in who you are and whose I've called you to be. Now, the Lord says there is a ministry calling upon your life. You already know that. The Lord says it's time to get from out of the background and move on to the forefront. And the Lord says, I'll open the doors, but the Lord says you need to just surrender to me. And you say, well, God, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have, you know, I'm not that great a speaker, I'm not this, I'm not that. But the Lord says, I always will equip those that I call, you know. And so the Lord says, you just say yes, and you just receive it. And when you say yes, then God says, I'll give it to you. Because the Lord says even some of the stalling and stuff has been because I'm trying to get you into a perfect place in me. And the Lord says, you'll get to that perfect place, just surrender. Just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And, you know, the Lord is saying, don't even worry about having to understand it all. Just receive it by faith, because the Lord says, trust me, I won't leave you forsaken. I'll be there with you. And the Lord says, everywhere that I take you, I'll be right there with you. And the Lord says, I'll even go before you, and I'll make the places easier for you to cross through. The Lord says, don't spend as much time worrying about how. Just say yes. And God says, I'll do it. I'll make it happen. And God says, when it's time to move, you'll move. And when it's time to stay, you'll stay. But God says, just yield to me and call upon me, and I'll answer, and I'll be with you, and I'll show you great and mighty things, says the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you also.
All right, caller, your last four digits, 3522.
Hey, Perfect God, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Louise?
I'm praying that you would have called my number.
Okay.
I love your
show. You should have some tools to work with.
Your show was really, really very touching, very encouragement, and looking to hear from the Lord concerning my marriage restoration and, you know, the daytime job. And the word that you have given the sisters was really, really encouragement.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're gonna get the job, and the Lord says just open up your arms to receive more of me. Now, the Lord's wanting me to tell you, you know, I'm doing a healing on the inside of you right now, and the Lord says you feel like you're just being stretched and pulled apart in every area, but the Lord says out of it is going to bring forth a beautiful vessel, a vessel of honor whom I cherish. And the Lord says I'm going to mold you into this man of God that I've called you to be. And God says you're going to stand firm, and you're going to know who you are in me, and you're going to have a total recognition of who I am. And so the Lord says, you know, just surrender. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And God says, I'll open up the doors, and I'll show you great and mighty things. And, you know, and it's like we had, you know, like we had been praying earlier during the prophetic counseling, you know, I still see that job opening up real soon. So I think, you know, it's going to be like in the next week or so. So you don't have anything to worry about that. Just, you know, as the scripture says, that the truth that you know and understand, you know, set you free. So just receive it, and, you know, and okay, Lord, I understand what you're doing, and you're going to bless me with this job, and the door is going to open for you. So you don't have to worry about that as well. But this is a season where God is really, really moving into your heart and healing you of some things. So just, you know, just continue to let him work on you, and just continue to trust him, because God says, I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to bring you through. I have not forgotten you. I see what's going on, and I know everything concerning you. And God says, I'm not going to allow you to fall. But God says, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to hold you up in my arms, and you will know that you know that you know that I'm your God and that I love you, says the Spirit of the living God.
Okay. I don't know if I should ask about my marriage or there will be no more word asking you about that.
Well, the Lord is saying right now, he's healing you. He's healing. That's his main thing right now is to heal you. You know, so you know, like we've been discussing in the counseling, we just need to continue to. We're gonna stand in faith, and you allow God to do what He's going to do with you, and then you allow the Lord to deal with her, because you can't change her actions. All you can do is control yourself. You can't control her actions. But you can control, how you respond, and as you see, as you've been responding, you know, more in line, you know, with being calm and cool about things, you're gaining territory. But every time you align yourself to, you know, her emotions, you know, then it doesn't work good. Because she's emotional and you're emotional too, and that's not working.
Okay.
Amen. So be encouraged. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you, Louis. Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Kai.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, caller, last four digits, 9479.
Hello, Prophet. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you.
God bless you. And your message was very encouraging.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I'm standing by faith for a lot of things I've been going through for a while now. And I'm just going to reach out and grab what God has for me.
Amen. What's your first name, brother?
My name is Willie.
Willie, okay, praise God, Willie. Did you have a question or a prayer request?
Yeah, I'm gonna pray for a favor, and
okay.
I need to turn around. I've been going through so much lately, and
okay.
I also have a son that's very sick. He has sickle cell, and I'm trying to teach healing to my family. He's praying for healing.
Amen.
I don't think they believe
Amen.
It, so I need something to happen to shake family up.
That's okay. Do you have your son, or does he stay with other families?
No, he stays here. Well, he's in college, but he's here right now.
Okay,
but
awesome.
His faith has been shaking
awesome.
Since since the sickness came. I think he doesn't believe as much as he keeps, because it's been attacking him more and more. So at one point he was going to leave. So, but when he was little, I should take him to like a lot of healing services and stuff, and he believed, but. Mm-hmm. You keep getting attacked, you know. And I sit there and I watch the Allen and all these people, because I believe in it. Like, oh, I'm from the Tent Revival, the Allen, Brother Shandong, all that. And I really believe that stuff, and I teach it.
Yeah.
And to hear you teach it, you're the first person I heard that speaks like that lately, because everybody's using they speak it, but they're not sure, because they don't show what they face, or then they hold something back. But I just want to go totally by faith. I want God to just... You know, I want God to be our doctor. God to take. And the woman with the issue of blood, she used up all her money. Everything was gone, but then she had one touch from God. Everything was her faith made her whole. I just want that.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that about the woman with the issue of blood, because you know, like sickle cell is a blood disorder, and you know
right.
when he talks about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she said in her heart, you know, if only I touched the hem of his garment, I should be made whole. And it's the scripture talks about how she went from, you know, doctor to doctor, and she didn't get better. She only got worse to the point to where she almost spent all her money up. You know, and the scripture says, this way, beloved, I wish above all things that you would be in health. And prosper, even as your soul prospers. And what I'm learning in the area of faith and healing is that that's a missing element that we've been leaving out, is the whole thing of the soul. So that tells us, you know, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So that tells us that somehow our soul, which is that mind, the will, and emotions, is connected to, you know, our body, you know, for physical, you know, for physical healing. And it's also connected to our finances. So then what we have to then believe for is that we have an excellency of soul, that God will heal our soul. So that means, you know, the scripture said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. So somehow through sin or generational things, or, you know, just Satan, different areas of our soul become wounded. And so then the soul, we had to pray first that the soul would be healed. And then once we pray that the soul is healed, you know, because we know that Jesus died for our sins, he died for our healing, but then he was resurrected. So not only the death, but then there's also the resurrection as well. So we ask the Lord to heal our soul, and then we ask the Lord that his resurrection power would be manifested in our soul, so that we can receive that the total healing. And so I would love to pray for your son, and we can pray together right now. What's your son's name?
His name is Jordan.
Jordan. Okay. You want to believe God with me that God's going to heal him? Because I believe God will heal him right now.
Yes, I believe it.
Yeah. Okay, amen. That's all we need, is some faith to connect to. Okay, so just repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you that Jesus was made a curse.
I thank you that Jesus was made a curse.
Mm-hmm. That I could be redeemed from the curse.
That I could be redeemed from the curse.
And that Jordan could be redeemed from the curse.
That Jordan can be redeemed from the curse.
So, Lord, I lift up every generational iniquity.
I lift up every generational iniquity.
Mm-hmm. Within my family bloodline.
Within my family bloodline.
On both sides of my family.
On both sides of my family.
Going all the way to Adam and Eve.
Going all the way to Adam and Eve.
In particularly, the sickness of sickle cell anemia.
In particularly, the sickness of sickle cell anemia.
Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray.
And Lord, I pray.
That you heal every wound.
That you heal every wound.
In Jordan's soul.
In Jordan's soul.
Especially as it relates to sickle cell anemia.
Especially as it relates to sickle cell anemia.
And every other blood disorder.
And every other blood disorder.
I apply the blood of Jesus.
I apply the blood of Jesus.
On every soul wound.
On every soul wound.
In Jordan's body.
In Jordan's body.
Especially sickle cell anemia.
Especially sickle cell anemia.
And Lord, I ask that you heal every wound.
Lord, I ask that you heal every wound.
And Lord, now I ask that you fill every area.
And Lord, now that I ask that you fill every area.
Of Jordan's soul.
Of Jordan's soul.
Mm-hmm. With the glory light.
With the glory light.
The resurrection power.
The resurrection power.
The dunamis power.
The dunamis power.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
And I confess and decree.
I confess and decree.
That Jordan is excellent of soul. That Jordan is excellent of soul.
That Jordan is excellent of soul.
And he is healed.
And he is healed.
From the top of his head.
From the top of his head.
To the soles of his feet.
To the soles of his feet.
So sickle cell.
Of sickle cell.
We command you to leave his body now.
Sickle cell, we command you to leave his body now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For Jordan's healing.
For Jordan's healing.
Amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jordan. I just feel a fire. The fire of God is just flowing through Jordan's body. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for that total healing and health and restoration. And we thank you, Lord, for a total manifestation of healing. And, man of God, the Lord wants you to know that your son will be healed. And God says it will be confirmed to you within the next 3 months. You're going to see the manifestation of his healing, and it's going to be confirmed. The doctors will confirm that he's been healed. Now, the Lord says initially they're going to say that he's in remission. Because they're not going to immediately say that he's been totally healed. But God says your son will be healed. And God says when he is, God says you're going to testify this healing. And the Lord says, and when you testify this healing, God says you're going to write a book. Thank you, I feel the Lord right now. You're going to write a book about it. And God says this book is going to cause many, many other people to be healed, because the Lord says there's a testimony in your mouth as well on how you've contended for his healing all of these years. And God says now is the time. God says all of the prayers that you sowed in faith, that you sowed a seed, God said it's bearing and it's coming up a harvest, says God. So the Lord says, know that you know, man of God, that I'm healing your son and I'm raising him up from off of his bed of affliction, and you will see the change take place even tonight, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Willie. So you make sure you stay in contact with me and keep me posted on the testimony.
And
when you get the doctor's report,
yes,
see if you can send me a copy of it, and we're going to testify.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me, y'all. Yeah, but I know God must be moving. Now the enemy trying to attack my throat. But it's all good. I'm going to open up for one more caller. Okay, caller, you're at 9920.
Hi.
Hey.
My name is Joanne, calling from Miami.
Hi, Joanne.
I just basically want prayer because I've been really down and discouraged for a particular prayer I've been asking God for to, you know, bless me and my husband with children, and it's been very trying and hard at this point, and I'm just trying to remain faithful to believe that he will do it for me, and just want to know what God has to say with that.
Well, you're gonna have a baby. You know, Scripture said this way, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So it's always the will of the Father to, you know, to bless the woman's womb. And I've prayed with several people, and they've conceived. And that's not because I'm so great and I'm so wonderful, but it's because God honors his word, you know. And the Scripture, you know, even when he put man and woman in the garden, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And so we're going to pray concerning your wound and you know, and his seed, and you're going to conceive a child.
Amen.
So, amen. So just repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you that your word is true.
I thank you that your word is true.
You promised in your word.
You promised in your word.
That I would be fruitful and multiply.
That I would be fruitful and multiply.
And that my husband and I would both be fruitful and multiply.
And that my husband and I will be both be fruitful and multiply.
And that our seed would be blessed.
And that our seed would be blessed.
So Lord. I ask that you touch my wound.
I ask that you touch my wound.
And Lord, I ask that you heal every soul wound.
And I ask that you heal every soul wound.
In particular as it relates to infertility.
In particular as it relates to infertility.
So, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my wound.
So, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my wound.
And I command the glory light of Jesus Christ.
And I command the glory light of Jesus Christ.
To just fill my soul.
To just fill my soul.
There it is right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There it is. There it is. There it is. You should be feeling like a little burning right now. That's the
heat.
Yeah, that's the touch of the Holy Spirit. He's touching your wound right now. You remember how scripture talked about Mary, how she the Holy Spirit entered her and she was pregnant or with John the Baptist, and it talked about how her wound jumped. That's what's going on right now. God is touching you right now. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for that divine healing that's touching her right now. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And I know this is going to sound odd, but the Lord says that this first child, you're supposed to call him Samuel. He said your first, he's going to be a son, he's going to be a boy. And God said you're going to call him Samuel. You need to call him Samuel because he's going to be similar to the prophet Samuel in that he's going to know the Lord from a very early age.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, 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 amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Joanne, make sure you, when you get pregnant, make sure you send me an email or a picture or whatever so we can rejoice together.
I will. I really, truly thank you because, like
you're
I said, I've just really been trying and very hard.
That's okay.
I know
that's
we got to remain faithful at all times, but
that's
sometimes
right. That's right. Well, like the scripture says, you know, weeping may do it for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen. That's
okay. Amen. So now the joy.
Amen.
No more tears.
God bless you. Thank you so
God bless
much.
You too, woman of God. You're welcome.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Father, we thank you so much for this time together. And I know there's several people who are listening who were not able to get on. But, Lord, I just speak and decree, Lord, that you answer every single one of their prayers, that you touch them, you heal them, you deliver them. You bring manifestation of your favor and grace. And I thank you, Lord, that your love is covering every single person that's listening right now. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that hope maketh not ashamed of the gospel, Lord. And we thank you like our forefather Abraham, we're going to continue to hope, even if we have to hope against hope, as the scripture says. We're going to continue to hope so that we can receive and inherit the promises of God. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Make sure you tell your friends about the show. If you receive the prophetic word or you want to go listen to the archives, you can go to www.blogtalkradio/Prophet Kyle T. Miller. I know that's a long title. If you forget all of that, you can actually just go to my website, prophetkyle.com, go to the media section, and click on the link, and it'll take you to the archives. I love you all so much. Oh, also, too, if you would like to receive a prophetic word, you can go to my website, prophetkyle.com. Also, too, sign up for my newsletter so that you can receive my prophetic articles. I send those out every other week, a prophetic newsletter, and in there I try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and minister and visit with you concerning what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying for us in this season. And you can go to my website and request the free newsletter and receive the prophetic articles as well. I love you all so much, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.